Exodus chapter 20 in your Bibles and verse number 12. In our walk with God, it's important we know where the boundaries are to follow the Lord and obey Him, keep ourselves in the straight and narrow path. God's given the commands to teach man how to walk with Him and how to walk with one another. We saw the importance of the Sabbath and how the Lord has given us a new day, the Lord's Day in the New Testament. And then in Exodus 20 and verse number 12, the fifth command, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Israel was to inherit the land of promise, the land of Canaan, and the promise of obeying their mother and father were to, honoring their mother and father was to give them longevity in the land, to have a blessing of God that they could live long in the land of promise. The New Testament teaches that for all believers, this commandment refers to long life. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Fathers, we look into your word tonight. I ask that you'll help me to help your people, feed us through the word, and equip us for what we're going to face. Strengthen us, and Lord, save the lost, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the command that is given with a specific promise of long life. God instituted the family with Adam and Eve and told them to be fruitful and to fill the earth, to multiply and to replenish or fill the earth is what that word means. Satan tries to tear down what God builds up. We see that in the home. There is certainly a satanic attack against the home, and we see it very prevalent in this day and time. Satan tries to tear down obedient believers, ruin their testimony, cause them to be discouraged. The Church of Jesus Christ. Churches fight and split and have troubles, and the devil gets in the midst all the time. Saw a book one time, and the title of it was, Satan is more faithful to church than you are. And he's always here when the doors are open. And then, of course, nations that obey the Lord. Satan would try to destroy them and keep them from their place of service to God. Today we see a real problem with the home and family, with the homosexual movement. Our president has endorsed it and commissioned it within our military to... Now they have, two sailors can marry each other and kiss each other and have adopt children and all that sort of thing and receive Navy benefits for all of it and all that sort of thing. It's a perverted lifestyle, the Bible says, and it is a breakdown of the home. God said in Romans that when men reject Him and pursue this homosexual lifestyle, that He will give them over to their sin and to a reprobate mind so that they will do those things that are inconvenient, inconsistent, and unnatural to man. Now, we're taught to honor our parents. To honor is to have respect and to revere our parents. It implies that we're to be grateful for what our parents have done for us. Just like we have a responsibility to be grateful to our Heavenly Father for all that God has done for us. He chided Israel because they had forgotten to be grateful. They had forgotten that it was God who fed them, God who blessed them. In Isaiah he said that, the ox and the ass know the master's crib, but my people have forgotten and they don't know who it is that feeds them and who it is that provides for them and who it is that takes care of them. Sometimes our kids forget that, and we must remind them also. To honor them also means to obey them. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 8. Proverbs 1 and verse number 8. Several times in the Proverbs we'll see the expression, "My son, hear wisdom that your father's giving you." Hear this expression. In chapter 1, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." So here we see the teachings of wisdom being given unto Solomon, the writer of Proverbs. And we know that David was his father, and Bathsheba was his mother, and he received instructions from them on how to live. God our Father has given us life, and He's given us the ability to procreate. Men and women together can have children and give life and reproduce, and it's the cycle that God instituted. Now, I've heard some blunt parents sometimes tell their kids, "I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out if you don't behave yourself," you know. And I think that's usually a joke. I think most of the time it's not really meant to be serious. I've heard a couple of people, I kind of wondered about if they were serious or not. But as far as I know, they didn't do it. I've seen some parents who wanted to control their children's lives completely, sometimes discourage a child to the point that they lose the ability to respond. They just sort of become a person who just goes along with no joy and no response, because they feel like if they say something or they do the wrong thing, they're going to get jumped on and yelled at and all that sort of thing. We need to correct our children when they do wrong, but parents, let's all remember that our kids need to hear something more coming out of our mouth than just "don't do this" and "don't do that" and, you know, "you're going to get punished for the wrong you've done." They need encouragement. They need guidance, and they need help. And it's always easier to encourage with reward than it is to punish with discipline. Well, God promises us reward if we obey Him. And the principle of reward and blessing are part of His teaching to us. Rebellious children who get into trouble later in life because they never learned respect for authority, because they developed a rebellious spirit. God made man and woman and joined them together, and He told them to have children. And He says the children should honor their parents. If you do, you'll live longer. What a blessing that is. People want to live longer. They especially want to live longer when they get older. When they start getting a little farther up the mountain, a little long in the tooth, a little gray in the head, or bald on the top, you start thinking a little more about how much time you got left instead of how much time you've had to get there. It seems like your life went by like a weaver's shuttle, the Bible says. Just a rack forward and back one time is a weaver's shuttle. And as the weaver would rack that sled, that seems like the passing of somebody's life. Makes a noise, you know, slap, slap. And that's somebody's life that's gone. James pictures it like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. If you strike a match to light the fire, and that match, the smoke comes off of it, and you light the fire and shake it out, it's only a second or two and that smoke's gone. It's here for just a little while and then it vanishes away. And if you want to live longer, I see people spend multitudes of money for diets and exercise and gym equipment and gym memberships and all kind of things to live longer and to live better. The Bible says if you obey your mom and daddy, you'll live longer. That's a whole lot easier. Number two, we're to obey in the Lord. Parents are to teach their children what God teaches us. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God taught Israel how to teach their children. And it's imperative that we learn this at a young age with our children, to teach them continually the things of God. And I'm afraid we fail in this quite seriously of what we call teaching. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. He goes on and speaks of how these will be such great blessings there. Then verse 12, then beware lest you forget the Lord. So he's teaching them how to teach their children to obey, to love the Word, to respect it, to use it in our children's lives, to teach it daily and in various ways and at various times, to keep it before their eyes. When you're blessed and prosperous, don't forget God who brought you there, who's the one who supplies your needs. Don't forget that He's the one that brought us out of bondage, and we were lost, and God saved us by His grace, and now He gives us these blessings. Don't forget to respect Him and respect His Word, and don't forget to serve Him with our lives daily and to teach our children to do that. Don't forget that whatever we do, we're to do it in the name of the Lord. We're to do it with a vigor. We're to do it with a workmanship, with a craftsmanship, with an excellence. Whatever we do, we're to do it as unto the Lord. So in verse 17 and 18, the commandments back in Exodus 20, obey the Lord. Do what is right. It may be well with you. We're to teach our children. Teach our children the history, how God has delivered us. God brought us out of bondage. God brought us across the Red Sea. God brought us to the land of Canaan. They were to teach their children when they would see these things, these stones they set up when they crossed Jordan. He said, there'll come a day you'll come by this place. Your children say, what mean these stones that are set up here? And you're to rehearse the history of what God has done for you when they see this. And there's a multitude of things that we can use to teach our children about the history of how God has brought us to salvation and to serve Him and live for Him. He has delivered us. Parents, we're to obey God and obey the Word, and if we do, then our kids see the example from us that we're obeying God, and it's right for the family to obey the Lord. They also see if we're inconsistent in our life and not obeying, or our lifestyle is not connected to what the Bible teaches. It doesn't take children very long to start learning through those things. When I was a little boy, my daddy used to drink alcohol all the time out of a bottle, and he'd say it was cough medicine. And he'd cough. I got a cough, you know, I got to drink my cough medicine, you know. Well, it didn't take me very long at all to figure out that was liquor. He was getting drunk. That wasn't cough medicine, you know. I wasn't stupid. Even when I was 5 or 6 years old, I figured that out, you know. And children figure out when parents lie to them and when they're inconsistent in their lifestyle. Colossians tells us that we need God's Word in our daily life, and that what all we do, we're to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Wives and husbands, obey God and love one another, and that gives stability to the children when they see there's love between their mother and their father. That's why broken homes create an instability for children, because they feel that there's a lack of love and a lack of a unit that is supposed to be there according to God's Word. Children need a mama and a daddy. If you've been a single parent, God bless you. You've probably worked double time to try to be the best single parent you could possibly be. Or if you grew up in a single parent home, you may have had a great and godly mother or a great and godly dad. But it's not supposed to have to be that way. Kids need a mama and a daddy. And they need that consistency in the teaching. When the Muslims teach their children, they train them. They stay involved with them. They teach them, though they teach them ritual things to say over and over and over again, they teach it in a consistent way daily. And it's important that we gain insight into what it means to teach. and what it means to teach all the time, and what it means to teach the same thing in various ways as God has taught in His commandment. Number three, love is the binder for folks to be in submission. We submit to God knowing He loves us, knowing He's demonstrated that love in giving His Son, and knowing that He has promised us blessings and rewards if we're obedient unto Him. So we readily obey Him because He loves us. We love Him, why? Because He first loved us, 1 John says. A wife submits to a husband who loves her, puts her first. It's much easier for her to do that out of devotion than it is to have to do it out of duty. To be one who responds because she's loved and He puts her first. Children submit to parents when parents love them. Discipline in love. Correct in love. And show love to them on a regular basis. It's a lot easier for a child to submit to parents and not want to disappoint parents like that than it is to have a rebellious spirit toward parents that are wicked and evil and aren't living a consistent Christian life. Kids are secure when they see that love in the home. Forgiveness and mercy are expressions of love. If we're going to fail in anything, friends, we ought to fail in being too forgiving and too loving. And God will use that, I believe, in our lives. You think about the prodigal's father. When the son came home, the father didn't spend 3 days yelling at him and telling, "I told you so. I knew what was going to happen to you. You're going to go out there with all them people you like and waste all your money and all that sort of thing." No, he didn't say that one time. He killed the fatted calf and had a celebration because his son had come home. He rejoiced and demonstrated love and mercy and forgiveness. Love is a key to helping people be obedient and submissive. Number two, limits is another expression of love. The boundaries, that's what we're talking about with these commandments. The boundaries of how far we can go and still obey the Lord. Boundaries are given for our protection. Eli the priest did not make boundaries for his sons. He let them go and let them be rebellious and wicked, and they died as a result of that, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken captive as a result of that. And Eli himself fell over dead as a result of that. And he was grieved at his heart as an old man because he had not disciplined his sons and set proper boundaries for them. Israel as a nation forgot to obey God, and they wanted to be like the other nations around them. And when they did that, they trespassed against the Lord. They crossed the boundaries. They went against what God taught them to do. They wanted to be like the other nations. Instead of honoring the Lord as their king, they wanted a king like the other nations had to lead them out into battle. And they were constantly having that conflict of wanting to be like the other nations around them. Our children go off to school and they're around kids from all kinds of walks of life. And it is the natural human instinct that they want to be accepted and be like the other kids they meet. They want to be like the ones that are funny. They want to be like the ones that are popular. They want to be like the ones that are rich. They want to be like the ones that influence other people. And so it's vital that as parents we know these things and recognize these things and do our best to teach and guard our children before they're faced with having to make those decisions for themselves. Our children face a great battle in the world today. Limits keep them where they need to be. Loving them, limiting them to the boundaries that God has established. Thirdly, leading them is important. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Teach and train more than tell or yell. To train a tree, you have to straighten it and tie it down and put stakes in the ground and put ropes on it to straighten it up so that it doesn't grow crookedly. There's something more to it than just walking out in the yard and saying, "All right, tree, straighten up. You got to fly right. I've told you before, you need to grow straight." No, it takes work and effort to train a tree. And it takes work and effort to train a child. If you're going to teach your kids how to play ball, there are several men in this church that have taught their kids to be excellent ball players. And I'll guarantee you, they didn't come to their kid when they were 6 years old and say, "All right, I want you to be a good ball player. Here's a book. Read this book about how to play ball." No. They didn't come to them and say, "Okay, I want you to play ball. I want you to learn how to be a good football player. I want you to learn how to be a good baseball player. I want you to learn how to be a good basketball player." Though I don't know why in the world anybody wants to play all that round ball, but, you know, oblong ball is the good thing, and round ball is just fill it up till football season gets here, you know. And but what do? They go out in the yard with them, and they throw the ball, and they teach them how to catch, and they show them how to pitch, and they work with them, and they teach them how to bat. And a lot of times they'll get somebody who is a greater expertise to teach them some batter training or sports camps or things of that nature to teach them how to do something in a better way. And we do the same thing with our children at church, hoping that our Sunday school teachers are going to reinforce what we're teaching them in the home. And our junior church teachers are going to reinforce what the Sunday school teachers are teaching. And when the preacher mentions anything about the children from the pulpit, that he's going to reinforce what we're teaching them in the home. And so we're coming at them from several different ways, teaching the same thing. The importance of learning and teaching is much more than just telling, it's training. And it takes involvement. I taught my boys how to hunt and fish. I bought them guns when they were young, and I took them on hunting trips, and I showed them how to shoot. We started out with BB guns in the yard, shooting, you know, paper and cans and things like that. Grandpa's beer bottles and stuff like that out of the woods. And we'd shoot, and they learned how to shoot, and they learned respect for a gun. They learned the importance of safety, and they had to learn how to read the safety manual before they could own a BB gun and shoot it without me being present. And I taught them how to fish. I taught them how to skin an animal, how to cook the meat, how to fillet a fish. And, you know, it's like the song, "A country boy can survive." You know, he can skin a buck. He can run a trot line. He can do all those things. Why? Because he grew up knowing how to do it. Somebody taught him how to do it, trained him how to do it. I don't care if you ever teach your boys how to fish or hunt, but I hope you'll teach them the Word of God. And you'll train them, and you'll be involved with them in it. And you'll do more than just tell them that. You'll train them in these things. And that means involvement in a great way. Teach them the way of salvation. Teach them the respect for God and the church and those people that God places in authority over them. It's a miracle to teach a child to learn the difference between respecting an elder in their office or position than it is to respect a person who's not worthy of respect. We have a responsibility as Christians to respect the civil authority in a government that is over us. We have a responsibility to pray for our elected officials, those that are over us, that make laws, for our president and our senators and our congressmen, and we pray for them. We may not like them, we may not have voted for them, they may not be somebody we'd invite over to dinner if they would come. But we still should have some respect for the office that they hold. And it's important that we don't tear that down in front of our children, but that we help them to learn respect for authority. We need to love them. We need to lead them. We need to listen to them. We need very early on to teach our children to talk to us. Some time to sit down with them and let them tell us about their day. Tell us about what's bothering them. Tell us about what they're facing and temptations and all that sort of thing. If we'll teach them to talk to us, we may help them avoid an awful lot of problems that they'll go through in life. It's important that we lift them regularly in prayer and that we listen between the lines. People have real problems when kids rule the house. When kids start dressing differently, either immorally or in this goth philosophy that goes around the country from time to time. I mean, it's important that we listen to them and we learn how to read between the lines. I want you to know that kids that drink and kids that smoke and kids that smoke dope and kids that watch pornography and kids that slip out at night have left evidences over and over and over again for wise parents to have seen what's going on and get a hold of that thing and try to put a stop to it long before it ever took place. It's important that we listen to our kids, that we learn our kids, that we know their actions. You can tell when a kid's hiding something. I won't tell you which one, but one of mine, you could ask them a question, and they'd say, huh? As soon as they said, huh, they were about to lie. They were thinking up a lie, see? I never told them I knew that. That's giving away a secret. As soon as they said, huh, I knew they heard what I said. They weren't saying, huh, because they didn't hear me. They were saying, huh, because they were pausing to think up a lie to tell me. There was some evidence there. They were being sneaky. I knew something was going on. If we're listening and we're learning, then we'll be able to leave an example with them and correct them before they get too deep into some of these things. Alcohol consumption among teenagers is a common problem, especially upper high school and college age teenagers. And they don't become alcoholics because they experimented with drinking. They experimented with drinking, and they experimented with drinking, and they experimented with drinking, and then they drank more, and they drank more, and then the next thing you know, the drinks got them, and they can't turn loose. It's become a habit. It's become a regular thing. It's become something that is involved in their life. The same thing is true with drugs. Though I've learned that some of these, the worst drugs, can become addictive with very minimal use. The smoking crack and some of those things, it is so powerful that it just overwhelmingly takes over a person's personality, and the change can happen so rapidly that it is difficult to grasp. But it's vital that we're listening to our kids and reading between the lines and that we see what's going on in their life so that we can guard them from the dangers they're going to face. Sadly, they are physically mature enough to produce children, but they're not spiritually or emotionally ready to be a parent over children when they're in their teenage years. Turn over with me to Proverbs 30, verse number 17. Proverbs 30. Learning where the boundaries are, leading our families, learning to honor our mother and our father that our days may be long upon the earth, helps us to enjoy the journey if we're going to have a long life, we're going to have a life that's blessed, we're going to have a life that we're rewarded for. Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid." And then there's the warning of adultery. We need to have a family altar, a place of prayer, a place where we get a hold of each other's hands and pray to God and ask God to protect our family. We need to have a family pew at the church, a place where we go and sit on a regular basis. Now, I don't have to convince this church to have family pews. Y'all got your spot picked out. You got your cushion already conditioned for the size of your behind. you got a bag of candy in the pew in front of you, and you got your Bible, you leave. I mean, y'all got your spots marked. Y'all are better than a tiger. You know, you got your territory marked here. I don't have to teach you to have a family pew. I hope I don't have to teach you to have a family altar at your home as well. And you need to have family prayer. And you need to have family play. It's not all teaching and training and exercise and you know, the what you can't do and all that sort of thing. There needs to be some wonderful time of family vacation together, family play together in the yard, family play together with mom and dad, and that'll give strength to children to see love and concern and care and that you want to spend time. You can get to a point in your life if you got the money that you want to go out and do things and you get babysitters all the time, you leave your kids at home with other people. Sadly, many people have to work for a living where both the husband and the wife have to work and put the kids in daycare. But somebody's watching your kids more than you're watching them yourself. They sleep at night 8 hours. So it's important that you spend some quality time with them. And those times of play will be times they'll remember above many other things. Times where the family had a great outing together, an enjoyable time. And there wasn't any yelling and fighting and all of that sort of thing. We teach in the right way, we'll get it to stick so that our kids learn to honor their mother and their father. You say, "Preacher, have you done that all the time with your four kids?" I fail miserably with my four kids in doing that. I came from the discipline of a Marine in a young married life, and children started coming along, and I probably was overzealous in discipline. I never beat my kids unmercifully or anything like that. I probably wish I had a few times. But I did discipline them. We did get saved when our firstborn was 1 year old, so our children never knew our unsaved lifestyle. Thank God we didn't damage them from that. If we did any damaging, it was from the inadequacy of never having mamas and daddies that taught us how to raise our children, because we weren't raised by moms and dads or Christian people to take us to church and all that sort of thing. You can start with a generation. You can start over with a generation. I spend more quality time, I think, with my sons now than I did when they were young growing up, because I'm putting full-time in college and full-time at work and then 60 hours a week at the church work here. I probably neglected them a lot. And there are many ways I failed, I'm sure. But you know what? God forgives failures too, as well as sins. And He can make repairs. And God's grace and mercy can overcome our inabilities. Just like Paul said, what he did in ignorance, God forgave him of. And we do a lot of things ignorantly, try and do our best. Let's learn and let's spend the time with them that we need to teach them and train them so they'll grow up respecting us and honoring us. And we'll look back in old age blessed with that. I got 10 grandchildren. And I'm thankful that all of our children, you know, are on good speaking terms and get along and all that sort of thing. I'm looking forward, as I get to be a long-bearded old man, to the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, you know, that'll love their papa and come look after him a little bit maybe in his old age, you know. And I want to teach them right and do right by them so they'll love me in that way. Let's learn from this. If we do, we'll enjoy the journey of the Christian life a whole lot more. Let's stand together, please. Father, we do love you. We do praise you and thank you. We ask you to bless the invitation now. Use it for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.